This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This is a safe place. A place where we can feel free sharing our feelings. Think of my office as a nest and a tree of trust and understanding. We can say anything.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Deep down, I'm feeling a little confused. I mean, suddenly you get married and you're supposed to be this entirely different guy. I don't feel different.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
I happened to look over at a certain point during the meal and see a waitress taking an order, and I found myself wondering what color her underpants might be. Her panties.
And Brendan Sprague.
Odds are they're probably basic white cotton underpants. But I started to think maybe they're silk panties. Maybe it's a thong. Maybe it's something really cool that I don't even know about, you know.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
What? I thought we were in the trust tree in the nest. Are we not?
The Fan.
All right, it's hour two. If you missed anything from hour one, shame on you. But don't worry, podcast available. 1080thefan.com, odyssey.com, Odyssey app. Listen to us anywhere. It really is amazing. 8:15, we'll have the mail sack. So if you want to send in questions, here's an opportunity. Usually it's for Dirt and Sprague, and Swag will jump in. But if you've got questions for Swag while the boys are away, about their relationship, about anything weird, now's the time to get it. They're probably not listening. Let's be honest. They're out. So if you got questions for that, if you got questions for me.
Dirt could be up dealing with the young one.
Yeah. Well, I guess Teddy's probably listening, and then Dirt, then by proxy, would be listening. That makes sense. The little one's a huge fan of mine. I know he listens to the Sinner and Saint every weekend.
That's right.
To Dirt's chagrin. But you can go ahead and text those in 503-864-6326 is the Vancouver Ford text line. All texts on the Fan are via the Vancouver Ford text line. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. They are online at VancouverFord.com. I brought up your rule changes that you had for soccer yesterday.
Yes.
To a man with an English accent.
Right.
And he rebutted with changes to the NFL he would like to see. So we'll have to talk about those at some point.
But what did he say?
I will get... Do you want to do it here? We're talking college football. You got upset with me because I didn't tell you what we're talking about later in the show. I'm teasing the mail sack for you.
All right.
I'm giving you that. And this hour, we're going to do a cup check. We've got all of those things. But more importantly,
yes,
Friday night is the first ever round one of the 12-team college football playoff. And you are getting Notre Dame hosting Indiana. It is not necessarily an in-state rivalry, but it is an in-state matchup. But this is not your father's your brothers, your grandfathers, your great grandfathers, Indiana
Smoke
Hoosiers.
Smoke them if you got them.
Smoke him if you got him.
Signetti.
Signetti is great.
He's awesome.
And he brought over, it's somebody
Google
called
him
it,
if you don't know how
somebody
awesome
called
is
it James Madison West.
Yeah.
Ready to go. And I don't think they're afraid of Notre Dame. Should Notre Dame be afraid of them?
Yes. Because they can put up points.
Yeah.
But I know Notre Dame, it's hard because they, you know, everybody, they had that great win to start the season.
You're talking about, this is Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Yeah, Texas A&M.
Texas A&M. Yep. And then Texas A&M slipped up a little bit. And people were wondering how great that was. And then they put it together down the stretch.
Yeah, but the problem was Notre Dame wins that game and they slip up even more. You
and
thought
then they have the worst
wrong
loss of any of the playoff teams.
Yep.
By far.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that.
And then they
I'm trying
had,
to think of what the other losses are, but yeah.
And then they had a middling schedule and some traditional foes, opponents on there that normally would pose a challenge, really don't, i.e. USC.
Well, what's funny is I'm looking at it, and there are...
So they're 11-1.
But there's a smattering of ranked teams on there. So they beat number 15, Louisville. They beat number 19, Army. Number 24, Navy. And number 20, Texas A&M. Those are all ranked teams, but none of them feel like they have a whole lot of juice.
But the question is, how prepared are they for some college... And Indiana's certainly got the same...
Well, no, they've got no
questions.
And that's the other thing. So then flip over, and this is the thing about the conference realignment that has me kind of reeling a little bit. Is the Big Ten, the mighty Big Ten. Indiana played one ranked team all year,
and did not fare well.
They are number two, Ohio State, as ranked by the AP. But yeah, it was.
They got the opening touchdown, and then they got housed.
Absolutely housed. So, I mean, you go through this entire schedule. I mean, their Big Ten schedule is UCLA, Maryland, Northwestern, Nebraska, Washington, Michigan State. They finished with Purdue. They had a tough time against Michigan. Michigan did end up beating Ohio State, so I guess Michigan was a little bit better than we thought, but not a great team by any stretch this year. So it's a hard one where you look at it and go, well, they made it through the Big Ten, 11-1, huzzah, but their non-conference was Florida International, Western Illinois, and Charlotte. So how good is Indiana? Not sure. What does Indiana have to lose in this game? Absolutely nothing. Like I feel like they go out there and they get to go and play free and loose, and where Notre Dame feels like they have to win this game. Does that give you any benefit? I couldn't say.
It's really, can the Hoosiers find a way to work against one of the stoutest defenses in the country?
And can they stop the rush? I mean, that's a big thing. Because the combination of defense and running the ball in, did you get my weather forecast for the game yet?
Still searching. Hang on.
Still searching. Stopped searching a while ago and have not looked it up. But that's the other thing is December football in South Bend, Indiana is pretty conducive to...
Saturday,
stout defense.
High of 28, snow flurries, low of 13. Oh, wait, no, Friday night. High of 32, low of 23. So this will kick off at 8 p.m. local time.
Boy, that's going to be a fun one to watch.
It's supposed to be a low of 13 on Saturday. So
yeah, so moving into the late night Friday night, should be cold, should be brisk. So you feel like that gives the advantage to the stout defense and rushing attack of Notre Dame. So as much as you want all these games to be good, this could go very south very quickly in this one, don't you think? I mean, it could look a lot like Ohio State, but we don't know.
It could.
We don't know how good Notre Dame is. It's kind of the fun of it is having all of these teams, because usually we're making speculations and just going, imagine if they played, what would happen? At least we get to see it.
It'll be interesting to see. I'm more interested to see the mentality of... Are these teams in the first round, are they just all in for the single game? Do they throw the kitchen sink in it, or are they managing?
Don't you have to?
I don't know. This is what I'm curious to see. Are you managing for a run where,
yeah,
you know, obviously there's specific matchups and you're looking to take advantage of things, but if it is a tight game late, what do you have in the gadget trunk? How
Well, I mean, it's win or go home, which is not something that college teams are accustomed to outside of the handful of teams that have played in.
Two games is different than four. These teams are facing, if they want to win a title, they got to play four games in a month.
They do, but the other thing is they get 10-day stretches. So they don't have to come back and play in 7 days like would be the normal cadence of it, because you're looking at, you know, playing on the 20th, 21st, then the next games are the 31st and 1st, then the games are on the 9th
and
10th
or something.
Yeah, something like that.
And then the 20th.
And so you have these actual big stretches of rest. So it's win or go home. I can't imagine that you're leaving a whole lot out there on the field. You have to win these games to advance. How much that benefits the teams that are sitting in wait for this bye is curious, because you're looking at the teams that are playing this week, and the teams that are waiting, two of them don't feel like the others. Boise State and Arizona State, you know, there's been a lot of talk of whether or not they deserved a bye based on what they did, but the highest-ranked conference champions get a bye. How much of an advantage is it to be sitting and waiting for this week? It's unknown at this point. I mean, there's just literally no historical evidence of any kind to lean on. So I think you have to absolutely leave everything out there. And if you're going to win a national championship, you're going to have more than a handful of gadget plays for the four games. So whatever you've got, do it.
Yeah. And you've had a bunch of time. How creative have they gotten with things here with the downtime into, especially, you know, Indiana and Notre Dame did not play conference championship games. So they've had an extra week to really go in and create. For Indiana, I think defensively is, can they shut down the run? Love is healthy now for the Fighting Irish. He was dinged up midway through the season. Can they force Riley Leonard to be the guy to have to beat them?
Yeah. Well,
rather than just manage the game.
The other element to the whole thing is, it doesn't feel like Notre Dame needs to get real creative.
No.
They use the rest. Get everybody healthy, get out there and get it, where Indiana and Kurt Cignetti need to get rather creative
and figure out
ways around it.
He's had 3 weeks or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think he will go into the bag of tricks. I think they might come up with something that they haven't, might be totally brand new.
That's the one thing I hadn't really considered it until you brought it up right there, of the way they set up the first round matchups, because the four teams that did not play in conference championship games are playing head to head. So, I mean, I don't know if that was done intentionally, but yeah, Indiana was
no, it's just the way the rankings worked out.
Yeah, but it feels like there's an element of fairness to it, I guess, is my point.
Yeah,
so having Notre Dame play, you know, the number three team in the Big Ten, and then Tennessee, Ohio State sitting at home too. So yeah, maybe it is just luck, but I just hadn't realized that was the case until just now. So
no, I think it's somewhat apropos that the very first of this 12-team playoff game will be played at Notre Dame at night, possibly in the snow.
Oh man, that'd be great if it just starts Rudy just absolutely
going on as
dumping
come out.
Is Rudy going to get in?
I don't know.
Put him in the game. Get him a tackle. We had Rudy Rudiger come to our high school when I was there.
Oh,
he did not like me much. He thought I was a bit of a smartass. I'm sure you'd be shocked to find that. Yeah, just a little. Just a little. Imagine, this is me after years of going, oh, maybe I should tone it down a little bit. So, yeah, imagine me in high school. I was probably.
No, I think Indiana will be more all in just to win this game at any level than Notre Dame will be looking at. Maybe, okay, how do we manage a run?
Well, I think the thing, I don't disagree with that necessarily, but I think Indiana has to be in it to win the first quarter. To try to get a lead, because if you're looking at a team, like if you can, you know, like you said, trying to force them into throwing situations, not just with down and distance, but with the scoreboard. And so going out, I think you might see kitchen sink from the jump. And that's a recipe where if it does not work, then it ends up being, you know, very lopsided, very
quickly.
Some
of that'll depend, obviously, on the weather.
Oh, yeah, I don't question that.
And that's why I said you had 3 weeks to come up with some things. So, yeah, he might have something ready to go if he gets a certain look from Notre Dame.
Well, I'm excited.
For quarterback work there.
Let's go. And the pregame show right here on 1080 The Fan will be the Luke and Buck edition of primetime from 4:30.
That game will be here on The Fan.
Yeah? Do we not have all the
No, the other ones, because we have college basketball obligations, we decided to put the triple header start to finish on 9:10 on Saturday.
It will be on our station.
And so we will have Pilots basketball followed by Ducks basketball here on the Fan. We also did not want to preempt Sinner and Saint two consecutive weekends.
Oh, wait. I'm not here on neither as well. You know we're out.
That's not my department.
Very excited for the kickoff of college football. Not as excited as Swag is for the culmination of the Emirates Cup. So we will cup check next. At some point, we will get to rule changes from the evaluation of Swag's rule change in soccer to an Englishman's rule changes in the NFL.
And I have a question. I wonder if there would be a potential rule change consideration about something in the NFL.
Okay. Well, I also threw you a text about the one I want the NBA should consider, and you threw it out as let's do it for the Emirates Cup. We'll do that probably this hour as well. But next, your cup check right here on the Luke and Swag edition of Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. So the finale of the Emirates Cup is tonight. It is the Oklahoma City Thunder versus the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yep.
I'm cramming for this test because I have not paid any attention to the NBA.
Well, the Cup.
I've watched a little bit of Blazers basketball. It's there's, you know, some nuggets there where I'm not nuggets. I guess they're Blazers.
Actually, the
nuggets
NBA are, had a better night than the NFL last night. You had three games decided by 1 point coming down to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the NBA does not grab my attention until
Nuggets and Kings made nine consecutive shots down the stretch before. DeMar DeRozan could not hit one at the buzzer to get, I think there were eight lead changes in the final couple of minutes.
Ooh, well, I mean, hey, listen, if that's your jam, it was a good night. So tonight.
Yeah, some nights the NBA's hit or miss.
Yeah, no, there's no question. But they've
last night was a good night.
They've put in some energy into making this Emirates Cup a thing.
Yep.
The Lakers did them favors.
The semifinals were good games. Defense is cranked up. You can tell that the players, however, whatever you think their motivation is, there is some money on the line. Yeah. Winning team gets like $550,000 extra per player. The losing team, $200,000 per player. So there's something on the line from the pool tonight.
Yeah, that's definitely not an insult. They've cleared the entire schedule, so it's just the one game tonight.
Just the one game in Vegas.
I would say that's part of it too, right? The entire NBA has the opportunity to watch you in a big time game, having a marquee game this time of year. Yeah, absolutely. Giannis is leading the league in points per game right now. You've got the Oklahoma City Thunder leading the West. I didn't realize Trae Young is averaging 12.1 assists per game this season.
Oh, for Atlanta?
Yeah. I mean, I know he dishes the rock, but 12 seems like a big number. But like I said, I'm cramming for the test in the NBA and just kind of looking at what's going on. But here you have Giannis rounding back to form. Are you giving the huge advantage, if I look at just the NBA game cast, 75% of people are saying that this is Oklahoma City's game, but they mentioned Middleton healthy, Giannis obviously scoring again. Dame's.
The Bucks are 8-2 in their last 10. That got Middleton back. Dame starting to round into form. They're starting to have more consistency and flow in the offense together. You'd still like to see probably a few more high ball screens with Dame working off of Giannis. It's really effective when they do it. Giannis is so used to having the ball in his hands, he's still getting comfortable to not having it in his hands. Now, the big issue for Oklahoma City, what they've done, Isaiah Hartenstein was their big offseason acquisition from the Knicks.
And he didn't even play for the first month, right?
You had Jalen Williams essentially playing center for them.
What is he, like 6'8"?
He's 6'7".
Okay.
Saw him up close and personal for a couple of years there when he was at Santa Clara.
Yeah.
And so what they were able to do and what Coach Dane Yote has got them to do
and losing
buy-in
Chet.
Defensively. Chet went down.
Yeah.
And so they've had to piece it together. But the pressure that they put on the basketball is tremendous.
Yeah.
So this might be a game where you see Giannis handling the ball more, that they try to bring Dame off some screens to get him some catch and shoot looks because the guards for OKC are tenacious.
Yeah.
And then Lou Dort, Bobby Portis are likely to get in a fight at some point.
That's
if they guard
fun.
Each other.
Yes, please.
They are just intense on the far end of the crazy factor.
Yeah.
When you get in there. So that will be fun.
We were watching Winterhawks game a couple weeks ago and a couple good fights in there, you know, tossing referees to the ice. Yeah. One where they, you know, back off, throw down the glove, circle each other, take some swings. Give me a good NBA fight. Oh, man. They don't happen nearly as often, but when they do,
no,
they are haymakers.
80s and 90s were actually when dudes like actually threw punches.
Yeah, yes, they
did. Didn't connect a lot.
No. They are wild punches. They are. If they connect, they are haymakers. They are a whole thing. A hockey fight, very different than an NBA
fight.
There's
a lot more stuff going on with hockey fights, and generally when two dudes square off, they know what they're doing, so... Yep. You got to get the helmet off.
Yeah.
You got to drop the gloves. Then you're grabbing some jersey and trying to, you know, very rarely do you connect.
Yeah. Well, and
unless you get somebody off balance, if they're losing an edge, that's when you catch a dude.
Yeah.
That's usually when the linesmen jump in. Pretty
quick. Oh, totally. Yeah. Well, it is funny. Like we were at the teddy bear toss for the Winterhawks, so a lot of people went for the spectacle of 16,000 teddy bears.
I went one year and I was like, wow, we got seats right on the second row of the glass.
Oh, did you? Just get buried, did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of dudes with noodle arms there at the at the old
one of my 8-year-old daughters had just a small hand sized teddy bear and just right off the back of the guy's head in front of us just smoked it.
Well, I'm most interested to see, and this will be if the Thunder continue to roll.
Yeah.
In the West,
and the Thunder rolls, Garth Brooks.
Yeah. Yeah. If they get the number one seed, if they are able to get to an NBA finals, this will be interesting because you'll get a sense of in how they go about defending Giannis, what they may have in store potentially for Jason Tatum.
Okay.
From the Celtics. The Celtics are overwhelming number one seeds in the East.
Well, Cleveland has a better record. And has beaten them head to head.
When you come playoff time, Boston, if you go look at the Vegas odds, I would say Boston is significantly
they're the defending
favored.
Champs.
Cleveland has to prove it.
Yep.
An outstanding start, and they're fun to watch.
Yeah.
But I want to see how, without Chet, how the Thunder go about setting the defense. Isaiah Hartenstein can't go one-on-one with Giannis the whole time. So what's the strategy to get in there?
I want to look at that for a second, though. If Milwaukee goes out and wins this game, and obviously the experiment, is ongoing. Last year, it was a lot of people thought that it would be plug and play. You put Dame in there, you lose Jrue Holiday, and their offense gets better enough.
How far the defense slid back without Jrue Holiday in there.
Exactly. But they thought that the balance of Dame's offense would outweigh the loss on defense. Obviously, that didn't work. You said that they obviously hired the wrong coach. Now they have Doc Rivers. If they can get this and get momentum in, are you giving them any credence as a contender in the East? Because I think that's the bigger story. We know that Oklahoma City has what it takes to have a great regular season. Whether or not they can finish at the end, is to be determined. But the West right now doesn't look nearly as, murderer's row as it was last year, at least early on.
There's more good teams in the West than there is in the East.
Yes, but there's not. I don't know that there's that many great teams. I mean, I don't know if you're looking at it. I mean, the Suns are up and down. The Nuggets are, still super.
Yeah, the Nuggets are the big mystery because they're just their depth that they had from a few years ago when they made their title run has all been depleted because they paid their dudes.
Yeah,
I would be looking at the Nuggets to possibly be involved in a big deadline deal to try to reshape it.
Yeah,
they can move one of those contracts.
But is Houston for real? Is Ja Morant
Houston's not quite ready, but they play. Ime Udoka has those guys playing all-out defense on a nightly basis, which in the regular season can win you and pile up wins and get you a decent seed.
Yeah.
When you have to match up with the same team for 5 to 7 games in a series and they can pick you apart and force you offensively to have your third and fourth players have to come up with stuff.
Yeah.
That's where Houston will break down in the playoffs. OKC, meanwhile, they have all of those things in place.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, OKC is at the top. I guess the teams that I'm looking at, too, that have some championship pedigree, is Golden State, are they going to be able to put anything together that resembles a championship team? Is Minnesota going to bounce back to the form that they were in last year? Because that trade doesn't seem to be as effective as everybody hoped it would be in Minnesota, getting rid of Kat and, you know, promoting Naz Reid to kind of fill in that role and adding, you know, DiVincenzo and Randle doesn't seem to have paid dividends yet.
Yeah, the Julius Randle's had the hardest time figuring out his role. Yeah. I think everybody else understood what they were going to do. So,
but they're still pretty close to 500 for at least, yeah, you know, what are they, 25 games in?
I think they could certainly get on a run. But I think this is more about OKC's going to come out and just do what they've been doing all season.
Sure.
It's been very effective. The defense that they play as a group, they're kind of all for one and one for all. The post-game interviews are great because they all come, whoever they pick to do, and then they start barking, and it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is a true MVP candidate.
I love that the Clippers traded him away. Is that not one of the best, like... Yeah, I'm unfortunate that it goes to the Thunder because I can never root for the not Seattle Supersonics. So I will be rooting for the Bucks tonight.
About how they go about defending Giannis. I think the ball will be in Giannis's hands. I would put it in his hands more often. His matchup is better. Dame sometimes can get suffocated by these big physical guards.
Yeah.
So I would be having him come off of screens on the weak side, maybe with Middleton getting into actions with him. Brooke Lopez has the chance to be a huge problem for OKC, spotting up, stretching the floor.
You mentioned one thing about Giannis earlier. You said that, you know, he's still learning how to play without the ball in his hands a little bit more.
Overall, yes.
Yeah. How's Dame doing playing without the ball in his hands more? Because that's another one. Because if that's a strategy, and you're right, that Giannis is having the ball in his hands, Dame has never been the, like...
Right.
Steph Curry, obviously, is right. Steph Curry. But that dude never stops moving and finds his spots when he doesn't have the ball as well as anybody. And he can play with
the
ball in his hand.
With
Is Dame getting there, though?
I have every confidence that Dame can do that. The trick is when Giannis has it, he needs to make decisions quicker and either go and drive, or he needs to you know, try to get into a situation. So whatever off-ball actions are going on, they can happen when he's driving. So it forces, you're taking defenders away from him or making them have to decide, we're going to go double, which is freeing somebody up. Sometimes Giannis will sit there and just pound it into the deck until there's 4 seconds on the shot clock, and then he's got to shoot it.
Well, damn you, Jason Swigard. I think you've got me interested in the Emirates Cup.
Yeah.
I really didn't want to watch this game.
You were going to watch the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl?
No, I was probably going to watch a Christmas movie with my family, and now I have to abandon
them all.
Now, of course I have, but the girls are eight. They're very excited about Christmas. Now I have to tell them, sorry, Dad has to watch basketball.
Yeah.
Up yours, children.
You're welcome.
Damn you. Damn you. All right. Well, while we're on the NBA subject, I was sent a video clip. I have this Blazers text group that a friend of mine invited me 2 years ago, and they are Blazers. It's always been a scary place because these guys are like super fans. And I have never, maybe I've sent one text in there, and then I was just like, never mind. So I just keep an eye on it. It's like my way to do like the pulse check. A video is sent in of just absolute NBA ineptitude going back and forth, and it made me think of a rule change since we were on it yesterday, and I sent that to you. So I want to get the thoughts of the people. So we will share that idea next, and I think it's a way to make the Emirates Cup actually something I would watch. So we've got that idea. We still need mail sack questions, so they'll send those in for 8:15.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Celebrate the season with a Northwest tradition, Mad Santa Cascadian Dark Ale. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
That's right, the Daily Ticker is brought to you by Pelican Brewing's Bad Santa Cascadian Dark Ale. Warm up with bold flavors and get into the holiday spirit. Enjoy it by the fire or even under the mistletoe.
Ho, ho, ho.
Who doesn't want to get some of that? Do you enjoy a Christmas beer, or do you enjoy a Christmas cocktail?
I do enjoy Christmas beer, but I tend not to get too heavy into the Christmas beers, because then you get heavy.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know what? It's a time of season to get heavy, and then it gives you a chance to work out extra in January. How much fun is that? All right. So for the ticker, we had a conversation yesterday about rule changes that parlayed into three more changes about rule changes.
Talking about cricket and rugby and all sorts of fun stuff.
Well, listen, we're painting with all the colors on the palette.
That's
we're trying to create a menagerie for all the folks. It's like Jackson Pollock around here. So yesterday I got a clip. It was a Lakers Suns game, and I don't think I finished watching the clip because
it was just so bad.
It was
a cup game.
It was a cup game because the floor looked terrible.
Yes.
But just back and forth, bombing threes, nothing going in, missed shot, missed shot, missed shot, missed shot. And whoever sent it in the text group and goes, this is why the NBA is failing. So I watched the clip, and it started rattling around in my brain. Everybody keeps talking about, it's at a four-point play. If you shoot it from deep enough, how fun would that make it towards the end of games? Whatever. How fun would it be if they just got rid of the three-point line?
Yeah, go retro?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, but just imagine how it would change the dynamics of the game, wouldn't it?
Strategy would be vastly different. Would you utilize more? Would you try to go to the post more? Would you try to get down? Would you try to get fouled more?
What would it do to analytics? I mean, the idea that the three-point shot is more valuable is pretty obvious, right. But also the idea that you can go out and miss. I think it was yesterday that I saw there was a new mark set, 48 combined threes between the Mavericks and the Warriors.
Yeah, I think that was a Sunday game.
Okay, so yeah, so I did. I saw the stat yesterday.
139 or something ridiculous, yes.
Yeah, 143, 133, yeah. I believe is what it was. So, yeah, they shot in the game, though, a combined, let's see. So they made 48. They combined for 95 three-point shots in that game.
Well, they're shooting better than 50% at that point.
Well,
is there any defense being played whatsoever? That would be my first question.
Yeah, the Mavericks were 21 of 41.
So that's just over 50%.
And the Warriors were 27 of 54.
Exactly 50%.
Exactly. Pretty good percentages. That's a ton.
Well, I guess the question would be, would they stop shooting from deep?
Well,
but I mean, that's what Steph Curry does. That's what Damian Lillard does. That's what those guys do.
You're open.
I would say it would be interesting to see. And if you were curious about it, the Emirates Cup would be the perfect place to roll out.
You threw that suggestion out almost immediately when I threw out the idea. And it's like a wood bat tournament for like high school baseball stars, right? You go out and you go, all right, it's fun. Let's change up a rule that would be really simple to implement. You're already changing the courts.
Yeah.
That would draw me.
I don't know.
I would
I don't
be
know
very
if people
intrigued.
Would lose their minds because they're so ingrained in the three. I'm still the generation that remembers the implementation of the 3-point shot.
So do tell me. So how much do you remember it? Like, were you fully in on basketball? Because what year did the NBA adopt the 3-point
The NBA did
line?
It in the early 80s, okay. And then college did it throughout the 80s, and there was all the conferences did it. Like the ACC, the first time they did it, it was only like 17 feet, so the arc actually went through the jump circle over, so it was in between the top of that half circle jump and the free throw line. It was ridiculous.
That is absurd.
It was absurd. Go back and watch some mid-80s sort of stuff before they uniformly came to the 19-9, I think, was originally. Yeah. I remember when I was playing in high school.
Did they still have, was this when the key was still key shaped? In college, because that was originally, it would narrow.
No. The key was, was normal length.
But that was a once upon a time.
I wasn't wearing Converse All-Stars.
I'm just checking on you. I never knew that the three-point line
intersected. I was in high school playing basketball when they put the three-point line in.
Yeah?
And that was a big shot.
Did that help your game?
No, it did not.
I think my dad played without the 3-point line, I imagine, because he said he would have been a
We started like freshman, sophomore year. We didn't have it. I think it was my junior year it came into high school.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of adding the 3-point line, I get. But, I mean, there's a little part of me that feels like its time has expired. I do not want a 4-point line. Because just watching that clip of those guys going down and just chucking from 3-point line, it's not even that the shots were missed. It was just no effort. Yeah. To try to get anywhere near the hoop, it was
guys would value possessions more, I think.
Yeah,
knowing that, and if you went on a 8-10-12-0 run in a game, now you know it's going to take you 6-7-8 possessions to get stops to try to get back into it.
Yeah,
you can't just go down, knock down a couple of quick threes, and all of a sudden the other team's got to call a timeout to stop the momentum.
Well, and obviously scoring totals would go down, but field goals certainly
I wonder how much they would. But I would love to see the strategy of how you go about where you think the most effective place either is where do you want to get shots on the floor, or
where does your defense pick up?
Do I still have my guys, is Dame still going to pull up from 28 feet because he can knock it down? Steph Curry, same thing. Now, at some point, defenses force you out there.
Yeah.
If you try to get in closer, then everything condenses, and then you go back to 80s, 90s stuff where it was a wrestling match. You don't want that.
Why not?
Look, I loved that, but no. You don't want that. Or the one backfire that could cause it to backfire... Because they didn't call fouls in the 80s and 90s that you do now. And so if everything is condensed and guys are just now forcing it into the paint, you could get 70 fouls and 100 combined free throws, and nobody wants to see that. That's the way that it doesn't work.
Yeah, I get that too. But also from a defensive standpoint, you don't want the other team taking that many free throws. So, I mean, you're coaching defense differently.
No, I understand, but if you're coaching, if it's still there...
Ooh. I'm liking this idea.
But the cup is the place to test
100%
out
agree
in that regard.
Oh, yeah. I'm liking this more and more. And I wonder what it would do to spacing. I'm just picturing myself on a basketball court. I haven't played since, I don't know, probably 4 or 5 years ago when playing like City League or whatever. There's a certain amount of that arc has become so ubiquitous. It just helps you know where you're at on the court with just minimal effort. You wonder how athletes would adjust
to beyond just a pick and roll situation. You'll actually have to go back to running sets and multiple screens, off ball screens, actions, those sorts of things. I think you might see more trying to get guys on the weak side, backdoor cuts or those sorts of things.
Adam Silver, if you're listening, we've got it. I think we've got it solved. I've got to figure it out.
It would be fun.
Let's do it. Emirates Cup 2025.
There you go.
No 3-point line. I'm all for it. We've got some other rule changes we'll get to later, but did you notice anything different about your red zone broadcast this weekend?
Nothing comes to mind.
They ran a little test, and people did notice. You may not have, but things may be changing for red zone viewers. We'll talk about that next. Send in your mail sack questions. 8:15. We've got some good ones coming in. The holidays are here. We've got at least one that's holiday related. So start sending those into the Vancouver Ford text line or on the chat in YouTube, and we'll get to those at 8:15. The red zone changes are next on a Luke and Swag edition of Dirt and Sprague on 1080. Curtis Lowe. Skinner.
Yeah, Dirt does a good job of keeping the music.
It's a good jammy jam, one of my favorites. So one of your favorites you mentioned yesterday, Red Zone.
Yes.
The NFL Red Zone.
Yeah, I didn't notice anything.
There was something. The NFL ran a test. So apparently at the beginning of every broadcast.
At the end?
Well, at the beginning, Scott Hansen says 7 hours of commercial-free football starts now.
I know what you're talking about. Yes, they did drop in some 30-second, 15-second, 30-second in-game side-by-side.
Yeah, they're doing the split screen, so your ad-free viewing. Apparently, it was a test. There are no plans. This is per Sportico. The NFL does not currently have plans to test ads again, according to someone with direct knowledge of the league's thinking. Any permanent change would only be considered for the 2025 season at the earliest, but if one of your incentives to watch Red Zone is that you are not bothered by the advertisements, that may be going away. If you noticed it, did it disrupt your viewing, or was it, it's because they do that split screen thing where
they do
you
the
get
split screen,
flow.
You're still watching it. It is kind of odd where the audio drops out from the game that you're watching to a commercial and back. I think we're used to it enough in other events if you're just watching the games. NBA does it quite a bit.
Yep.
For a free throw or stuff like that where there's a momentary pause, but they don't, they're not cutting away to a media timeout commercial.
So, does it bother you? Does it? Is this something that's going to kill your enthusiasm for
it? I would say it would be, that would be a difficult, if they're going to put that in there, you know, what's the alternative? Are they saying that they're going to need to up the monthly fee that you would pay for Red Zone?
Like I said, right now all they're saying is it's a test. So there's enough people that noticed that they decided to make a statement and found an outlet that could do that. So
my guess is I wouldn't do that. I would leave that free.
Well, yeah, if you were running it, but they're also, the NFL is in the business of making money, and ad dollars are one of the biggest ways that they do that. So, I mean, you've had a pretty good run of commercial-free football for a very long time. I guess the question would be, would you stop watching? If it was the same commercial frequency, or even less than what you get in watching a regular game, would you rather just flip over the game so you can get all the action, as opposed to putting on
Red Zone? Point there is, you want to see action all the time, consistent action.
Sure.
Now, sometimes in the afternoon windows when there are limited games, there are more lulls, more times when they go back to the studio for Scott Hansen to fill because they're all at timeout or they go to halftime. Yep. And you know, in the mornings, the 10 a.m. session, there's usually
like
six, seven, eight games. Yeah. There's always something going on. So you're less likely to do that. So if it is used late, so they don't have to fill so much, maybe not as annoying. But if it's going to come in and be all the time, that will get annoying very rapidly.
Well,
and you're like, I'm paying so I don't have to put up with this.
Yeah.
So are they saying they need to up the rate? Like they're going to double what you – I don't know.
Like I said, they ran the test to see what kind of the backlash would be and go from there. But
yeah,
I mean,
when you said there was something new, I was like, what, did Scott Hansen do something? And then I'm like, no.
He's changing his hair. He used to part it on the right side. He's switching it to the left.
I did notice it. It was.
Well, the good news is for the rest of this season, apparently there are no plans for future tests. So if you are up in arms about it, if it's something that was a mild irritant, you should not see it for the rest of this year. But in next year's football season, it is something that that you could see. So there you have it. There is your little update on that. Mail sack at 8:15. We have more rule change suggestions, a response from an Englishman to the soccer rule changes. And I don't think you'll be very excited about the response.
Was it blasphemous what I suggested? I would like to know why.
Okay. We'll get into that.
I understand people are very stuck on their traditions. The golden at bat rule has me rolling over.
I assume you guys have talked about the golden at bat rule.
Yeah.
At length?
We got into it there for a little bit.
Okay.
We'll see. And then Manfred came out and said, no, this is years away. Baseball does. Well, they float an idea and see what the initial reaction is. And then it has to go through, you know, all the minor leagues and that sort of thing. And so they kind of numb you to it to a point.
Yeah. Well, I mean, people were up in arms about the zombie runner at second base in extra innings, and nobody seems to care. The pitch clock, the robot umpires are probably on their way.
I want robo umpires, but that's because I think there's more and more incompetency behind the plate. And everybody, you can go any number of places to see how bad they are. It's like right there in black and white.
Well, catchers make a lot more money framing pitches than they do.
That seems to be the hang up.
That's one of them. So it's that and just curmudgeon-y behavior by baseball fans. But you know what? This is the forum to do it. Let's kick around some rule changes. We'll do that, and then we'll get to the mail sack and maybe back into the college football weekend that's ahead. A very exciting week of anticipation. So hour three is next. Luke and Swag edition of Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.